Take your Bible tonight, and I want you to turn to the Old Testament book of Amos. Amos. And if you need to, go all the way to the front to your index, and you can look and find out exactly where Amos is. Amos is right by the book of Andy. Amos and Andy right beside each other there. Amos chapter number 3. Amos chapter number 3. We're going to look at the first three verses tonight. I'm going to be extremely, extremely practical. This will not be what we'd call an in-depth verse-by-verse Bible study. It'll be extremely practical. Amos chapter 3, I want you to find verse number 1. And would you please stand with me? We're going to read the scripture, and I'm going to read it out loud, and you can follow along silently. Amos chapter 3, let me do this before I begin to read. The title of the sermon tonight is this, The Marriage Relationship and Agreement. The Marriage Relationship and Agreement. I was going to preach something else, but Mrs. Owens disagreed with me on it, and so I'm going to preach this. Amos chapter 3, look at verse number 1. Amos chapter 3, verse 1, Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, You only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together, except they be agreed? Verse number 3 is a very important verse. Look at it again. Can two walk together, except they be agreed? If you look at the end of that verse, there is a question mark. And just so you know, that piece of punctuation there, it is a question mark, but at the same time, it is a statement, all wrapped up in one. My mother used to do that to me. She'd look at me and say, Jeff, you're not going to do that again, are you? And I'd be thinking, that's a loaded question there, Mom. There was a question mark and an exclamation mark all at the same time. And God is saying, can two walk together except they be agreed? He's basically telling you it's not going to happen. You won't walk together right if you're not agreeing on things. The sermon tonight is called The Marriage Relationship and Agreement. Let's pray. Father, bless us now. Help us as we talk this evening, the sermon, Lord, the teaching, the lesson. Lord, it's very simple. It's very down to earth. Nothing spectacular about it. But God, it's a part of our everyday life. It's a part of that important relationship that you created, marriage. And it's a part of what will help us to be happy or not. So take the sermon tonight and use it to get glory to thyself. Help all the young people to be silent and pay close attention, please. And help all of us to leave here maybe a little better about how we handle this relationship or all of our relationships. So much of what I say tonight will apply to other parts of life as well. Bless us now with thy Holy Spirit's presence, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there. Could I recommend something to you? When I preach, I try to give you things that will help the church. I just don't pick things at random just because I couldn't think of anything to preach. I try to preach things that actually help us, that make us better. If ever you find that you're not here for a service, you had to work, boy, why don't you listen to the sermon? You can listen to them free. You go to our church's website. You can listen. Thousands and thousands of people from across the country go there and listen. But boy, if you miss a lesson, you miss a sermon, I'd go and listen to it. It will help you. It'll also help you to kind of stay in tune with what's happening here at our church. The sermons are personally directional for you and I, but they're directional for our church. They're directional for our ministries. And so always, if you can, try to listen to the sermons. I want to tell you this also. I am about to talk about marriage now for a little while during this sermon. But I want to say to the young people, those of you that are teenagers, you're single right now, but the day will come when you'll be married. And you won't prepare well for marriage by deciding a couple weeks before you get married to read a book or two about it. You're in a constant preparation for marriage. And so as you hear me tonight, listen very carefully. Those of you that have not found the mate that God would have you to have, you listen very carefully to what I say to you tonight. I'm going to talk to the married people, but to those that are not married, if you foresee on the horizon someday that you will have a mate, what I'm going to say to you applies very heavily. I'm about to give you some things about how to pick that mate, but I'm not going to really allude to that at all. You're going to see it by way of the teaching that I give to the married people. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Do you know that we're going to apply that to marriage in a second, but that's pretty true about a church too. Can two walk together except they be agreed? In our church, we want unity. We let the Bible be our guide, and then we agree, and I think you're here because the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, we're in unity about it. We talk about salvation by grace through faith, and you say, "Yes, sir, that's what the Bible teaches, that's what I believe." We talk about so many things. We talk about getting saved, getting baptized, joining the church. That's God's plan. You say, "Yep, that's what I believe. That's why. That's one of the reasons I'm here." And I'll tell you something. We are to have a unity within the church. Can two walk together except they be agreed? That's true in a business partnership. If two people go into business together, if they can't agree on things, you're going to have a mess. Now, I'm not saying that people will agree on everything 100% of the time, but you ought to agree a lot. I don't think I'd be going into business with somebody that I couldn't agree with that somebody on our business practices and how we're going to handle things. I would never go to a church where I disagreed with the doctrine and the teaching and the standards of that church. I would want to be a part of the unity of that church. You know, this is true with you and God. Can two walk together except they be agreed? You and God are to agree, and just so you know, He's not to agree with you. You're to agree with Him. You're not going to walk with God like you ought to if you're not in agreement with God. You're going to have chaos in a business if the partners don't agree on the practices the functioning practices of that business. In a church, when people disagree with the doctrine or disagree with the preaching and teaching that's coming from the Bible, it creates chaos. It creates something bad that God did not want. Now, and let me say, it is extremely true with your marriage partner. You know, the most joyful marriages in the world are those who agree the most. And that's one reason why you need, and listen, don't talk, pay attention right here, okay? One reason you need the Bible in your life is because if you'll allow the Bible to become the final authority in your life, it gives two business partners something that is stronger than them to help them agree. We let the Bible become our guide at the church, so I don't do what I want, and you don't do what you want. We both do what God wants. You and I go into business together. You don't do what you want, and I don't do what I want. We both do what God wants. We want to walk with God. You don't do what you want. God does do what He wants, but I can walk with God and have unity with Him by agreeing through the Scripture. And in a marriage, if you'll let the Bible become your final authority, then the husband, he doesn't do what he wants, and the wife, she doesn't do what she wants. They both do what God wants, and that gives you a central focal point of agreement. So you know, God is for unity. Now, I don't think, I have to tell you this, I'm very much for unity in the church. I'm for peace in the church, but I'm not afraid to go to war. I mean, look, if somebody doesn't want to do what the Bible teaches and they want to cause a fuss about what the Bible teaches, we'll stand up and we'll defend the Bible. Now, I'm for unity, but not at any cost. I'm not going to give up my doctrine. I'm not going to give up my standards. I'm not going to give up those sort of things to pacify people, but we are seeking unity. The Godhead is a perfect example of the unity that God is talking about. There is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? They all three perfectly agree. So much, they are one and the self-same. They agree on everything. Now, let's talk about your marriage for a couple of minutes here. The problem that you have in your marriage is usually in the areas in which you disagree. You say, "Preacher, that's simple." I know. And the solution is not real complicated because the problem's not real complicated. The problems you have in your marriage are in the areas in which you disagree, or in the areas in which you at one time agreed, but you are now, look at me, and you are now disobeying, or you have gotten off track of what you two used to believe. You know, it may be a husband and wife agreed on something and then one of them veered off, and now one of them is no longer in agreement with what we said we believed, and now you've got that conflict that comes. Again, I call the sermon the marriage relationship and agreement. Let me say to every married couple in here, make sure you need to get it together. Get it together. Now, to start every point, I'm about to tell you about how some of you can make your marriage stronger and happier. So how are we going to do that? You need to start agreeing. You need to start agreeing. If I could, and I think I'll say this on every point I'm about to teach, but in case I miss it, here's what you need to do. You let God become the final authority in your life, sir, and you let God become the final authority in your life, wife, and then the two of you are going to find agreement far more often. But when it's your opinion versus her opinion, now you've got a problem. So the more frequently you are in agreement, the happier your marriage. And so, what are we doing? We're taking a good long look at this verse. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Let me show you some areas of life where you need to work at agreeing. And remember this, those of you that are unmarried, young people, college-age people, those of you that are single that see yourself being married someday, I'm about to tell you some things about finding the right mate. But to the married people is the purpose of the sermon. Number one, I think you need to find agreement in regard to, I'll call it your family, marriage, and your commitment to marriage. I'm going to say something to you that I want you to hear. When Mrs. Owens and I got married, we decided we were staying married. We decided that. We were going to stay married. When we got married, she and I didn't say, "Well, we'll try this, and if it doesn't work out, it's okay." That is not our approach. You are making place for failure. If I were you, if you say, "I want to get married and I want to stay married," if I were you, I'd find somebody that wants to get married and stay married. You do understand, sir, if you want to get married and stay married and she wants to get married and see how it works, you don't agree. She may be the first one to run for the woods, or vice versa. He may be the first one to run for the woods. Your philosophy of marriage, it'd be smart if it matched. Now, what's God's intent? Get married and stay married. And so, your philosophy of family. Mrs. Owens and I agreed when we married, we wanted to get married and we wanted to stay married. Now, I think it'd be very smart for you to get some agreement. Like, well, you take about the your philosophy of how you're going to raise your children. Let me tell you this. I'll recommend something to everybody in here. Both husband and wife ought to agree that your children are never going to come between you and your spouse. Your children do not come between you and your spouse. You were first. Husband and wife were first. The children came later. You don't let your kids destroy your marriage. Now, that's what I'd look for. If a husband and a wife could agree, we're going to get married, and the plan is to stay married, And then we're not going to let the kids come between us. And I'm not telling you that it's not like kids are born with the intent of destroying marriages. Anybody in here that knows anything about rearing kids, it's awful easy for suddenly mom and dad to start disagreeing about the kids. And before long, mom and dad are at odds with each other about the kids. And can two walk together? Except they be agreed. I think it'd be wise for the two of you to agree on how you're going to discipline your children. You say, why? Well, if you want, I could go around the room and point to the married people and ask, what do you struggle with in your marriage? Well, we struggle with he disciplines too harshly, or she doesn't discipline enough. And boy, child discipline is an area of disagreement, and the whole lesson is, can two walk together except they be agreed? So I think it's a wise thing for the two of you to agree about the discipline. Your family philosophy, the children, how will you rear them? I think it's probably a good thing to have some sort of an agreement about what I would call your extended family. And I don't know a better way to explain that. But this, husband and wife, they get married and they become one. You need to understand at that point, you're married to your husband. You're married to your wife. They take a first place in your life. I have to tell you, some people they get married and they have a hard time pulling away from mom and dad like they ought to. Now, you don't leave mom and dad behind and never talk to them again or anything, but your family unit becomes a priority when you get married. And there's a healthiness that ought to be there. I have watched people that got married that I've watched men that would say, my wife could never quite totally leave mom and dad behind, and it just created chaos in our family. When my wife would maybe need advice or make a decision, she'd go to her dad and wouldn't even mention it to me, and I was her husband. And I'm not trying to figure all that out right now, but I am telling you, can two walk together except they be agreed? And I believe if a husband and wife are going to be in agreement, they kind of need to figure out what they believe about their philosophy of family. How are they going to raise their kids? How are they going to handle the extended family? Come to agreements. And let those agreements be guided not by her opinion or his opinion, but let those agreements be guided as much as possible by the Bible, so God is the one to whom you are both submitting. Do you know that in the Bible, and you young people that will get married someday, it is very clear in the Bible. The Bible says there comes a point when you leave your father and your mother and you cleave to your spouse. Leave and cleave. That'd clear up most marital issues. Leave and cleave. And what's the cleave? That's the agreement. That's the sticking together. So in marriage, can two walk together except they be agreed? I think your philosophy of family needs to be in agreement. Then, I think it'd be a good thing in your marriage that you have agreement about your spirituality. Your spirituality. I don't usually use the word religion. Most of the time in the Bible, the word religion is used in a negative connotation. But how are you going to handle your religion, your spirituality? Now remember, if I were you, I'd marry somebody that wants the Bible to be the final authority. That way, it's not her opinion against his opinion or his opinion against her opinion. It is we are both going to figure out what God said, and that's the concept to which we are going to submit. But listen, I think a husband and wife, I happen to believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. Now, when I was younger and unmarried, something? I wanted to find a wife that believed the King James Bible was the Word of God. Let me tell you, you want to have a mess at your house? Just marry someone that believes the NIV is the Word of God, and you believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, and you watch what kind of fusses the two of you are going to have. You'll have it. Your spirituality. I married someone that believed in the local New Testament Baptist Church. Can I tell you something? Can I tell you through the years how many people I've watched where one spouse goes to one church and the other goes to another church and they don't believe the same thing, and to be honest, they don't really have agreement? That's a dangerous thing to do to a marriage. You do realize that, right? So you gotta, and what you do is you let God tell you with the, well, let the Bible guide you, and then you make your decision by the Bible, and the husband is in agreement with the wife, and the wife is in agreement with the husband, and they're both in agreement with God. That's what you're looking for. Listen, in regard to your spirituality, we're looking for agreement. For instance, when you husband and wife, they ought to be in agreement. Are we going to be old time religion, or have we decided we're going to be the new contemporary Christianity? Now, I know what I wanted. I wanted the old time religion, but I made that decision not because it was my preference. I made that decision because it's what the Bible teaches. And then I found someone that said, I want to do what the Bible teaches. So she said, I want the old time religion. And so now I've got a wife that's old time religion, and I'm a husband that's old time religion, and we're in agreement. Did you know Mrs. Owens and I don't fuss about the old time religion? Did you know that Mrs. Owens and I, we don't fuss about going to an old fashioned Baptist church? You know that Mrs. Owens and I have never had one conversation that was negative about the King James Bible? We don't do that. We're in agreement. Now, we do have things about which we have disagreement. She's not perfect. I'm pretty close, but we're not perfect. But I'm here to tell you, these things are not things that cause tension in our marriage. Can two walk together except they be agreed? When we got married, we agreed one to get married and stay married. We knew how we were going to raise our kids. We knew how we were going to handle aunts and uncles, moms and dads. We had come to an agreement on that, so we don't have tension about that. When it comes to our, if you will, our spirituality, we have an agreement on it. We know what we believe. We know what we believe about the Bible. We know what we believe about the local New Testament church. We decided we were going to be old-time religion. We didn't want anything to do with the newfangled contemporary way of doing things. Hey, we decided we did not want double standards in our home. You say, what's that? Come to church and act one way, go home and act another. We were not going to confuse our kids and turn it into a game with our kids. We're not going to play religion at the church house and then go home and live differently. We decided that together. We had agreement on that. Our music, you took our music at home, you could bring it to church and we would not be embarrassed of it. Our dress at home could be brought to the church because we were not going to be ashamed, and we were not going to cower about that. We didn't want our kids confused. Our entertainments. But all of it, what is it? You see, and let me promise you something. What I'm saying to you is quite simple. But if we examine the marriages, we could figure out what causes the tension in your home. What's these things that I'm talking about right now? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Family, the family concept, the spirituality. Let me go a little further. I'll leave the spiritual to a little degree. How about philosophy of life? I believe your philosophy of life, your approach to life in general, ought to be dictated by the Word of God. I don't think you're to act like Jesus at church and act like the devil at work or at home. Hooey on that. You know, that there are people that talk about big religious days. You know, yeah, everybody ought to show up to church on Easter. Everybody ought to show up to church every 52 weeks a year. That's what they ought to do. You know, they call them the C and E Christians. They show up at Christmas, they show up at Easter. And look, we're to celebrate the birth of Christ 52 weeks a year, and we're to celebrate the resurrection 52 weeks a year. But your philosophy of life ought to be based on the Scripture. Listen, you all do realize that if a husband is a conservative and a wife is a liberal, you're going to probably have a problem. Your goals. If husbands and wives, you probably want to work on getting your goals somewhere near agreement. I doubt that. I could almost speculate. There have been fusses under the sound of my voice in the last 7 days over long-term goals financially. Because you don't agree. Be better that you agreed. I set a financial goal for myself this year. I decided I was going to save a couple bucks. I needed to save a couple bucks. I'm getting way too close to retirement to spend it all. But you know what I did? In December, I sat down with Mrs. Owens and I said, we're going to have to retire someday. And if I don't do something, we're in trouble. I said, here is my financial goal for saving some money this year. You know what we did? We talked about it. We agreed on it. We've not fussed about it one time. We're 4 months in so far. So good. We've done exactly what we agreed upon. We're not fussing. You better get the way you live your daily life. And some of you, there's tension in your house, and it should not be there. Because can two walk together? Not unless they're going to be agreed. So what do? You figure out what God would have you to do, and the two of you come to an agreement. There might be some negotiation in there, but your home, your kids shouldn't be under the guise of constant pressure and fussing and the anger and all. That shouldn't be there. Now, some of it's going to be there because we're human, but you need to get it together. Your goals educationally. Your purpose of life, your children's education. Boy, you better decide those things because they cause fusses. If you don't have any kids and you're going to have kids, I think it'd be a good idea for you to sit down and have a little talk with your spouse about what are we going to do with our children regarding their education. Will we homeschool them? Will they go to the public school? Are they going to go to the Christian school? What are we going to do? And personally, I'd do everything I could to keep my kids out of the public school, and not everybody can, but I would. But listen, Mrs. Owens and I, never one time did we fuss about the schooling of our kids. You say, why? We had decided, we went to the Bible, we let the Bible tell us what we needed to do, and then we did what we thought the Bible wanted us to do. We've never debated for 1 minute, will they graduate? No. They will. It's better than being dead. Now look, you understand, the more things you let the Bible guide you to agree upon, the less fussing there is that'll go on in your life. And there's way too much fussing in marriages, and most of the time it's because we've not sat down, looked to what was right, and agreed to what we were going to do. Let me go on. I said your philosophy of life, your spirituality, your family, your concept of family, your values. You need to learn agreement in your values. But I really don't think they're supposed to be your values. They're supposed to be the Heavenly Father's values, and you're supposed to agree on them. Again, determined by the Bible. I think it'd be a real good idea that the husband and wife agree on what you think morality is. What are you going to allow on your television? What are you going to allow in the books that you and your kids read, in your conversation, in your jokes? Look, I raised my kids telling them they were to keep their hands off of the opposite sex until they got married. Now, some of you would disagree with that, and you can do whatever you want. But I went to the book of 1 Corinthians where it said, God said it's good for a man not to touch a woman. And I believe, I wanted my children to grow up, and if I want them to be virgin at the altar. And I had a goal for that, and Mrs. Owens had a goal for that. And I'll promise you, we never had one disagreement about it when our kids were growing up. I mean, you'll help yourself if you'll find what the Scripture says, and the two of you agree on it, then there's agreement between you, and then you're not going all the way through life fussing at every single stage and everything that comes up. Your values in regard to morality, your values in regard to integrity, talking about the telling of the truth, your values in regard to language. Cussing was not allowed in our home by anybody. We were also very, very conscious of slangs that associated with cuss words. I call it secondhand cussing. That's where you take a word that sounds like a filthy cuss word and you replace the first letter of it so that you can go ahead and say the cuss word without saying it. Now, we made an agreement. We didn't do that. And boy, it helped the kids when there was an agreement between mom and dad as to what words would be decent words and what words would not. When I talk about your values, I'm talking about character. What does your home believe about the subject of character? Do you believe you should be on time? Do you believe you should work hard? We should be teaching that both in our lifestyle and to our kids. And it's important. But I promise you, you'll have a better marriage if the husband and wife can come to an agreement that it's important that we be on time, that it's important that we pay our bills on time, that it's important that we tell the truth, that it's important that we teach and promote an equal level of morality. And by the way, not my choice of morality for myself or my kids, but God's choice of morality for myself and my kids. And God can make the decision. You just have to follow through. Let me go on. This next one's almost stupid. I'm wondering why I put it in my outline. But it is important. It might be good if you'd agree politically. Boy, does America need this. Do you know what ought to determine what you believe politically? The Bible. The Bible. You say, well, my party, fooey on your party. What about God? What about the truth? What about the Bible? Listen, did you know, those of you that are single and you're unmarried and you're looking for a spouse, it'll be pretty hard on you if one of you believe that you're a Republican and the other is a Democrat. You will have a house divided. It will fall. It makes it hard. I don't see how. But I watch people, and they disagree on so many things, and it's no wonder they have so much tension in their homes. That agreement is important. I scripturally am pro-life, not because I vote Republican, Democrat, libertarian, independent. I'm not a communist. I'm not a socialist. I'm pro-life because the Bible is pro-life. And God made that decision. You know, Mrs. Owens and I, politically, I don't know that we have ever had a disagreement or a fuss. You say, why? Because we went to the Bible and found out what the Bible said, and the Bible becomes our guide, and the Bible becomes the dominant force in our life. Our fusses are minimal. Matter of fact, we usually fuss about some of the stupidest little things. You say, why? All the big things have already been decided. I mean, you know, really, if you think about, we can get in a fight over dumb things, worthless things. We don't fight over the big things. Why? We're in agreement. We're in agreement. We don't think, for instance, we don't think that who's in the White House is the answer to America. We think what's happening in your house and what's happening at the church house is the answer to America. And we agree on that. Let me go on. It will help if a husband and wife can get on the same page vocationally, job-wise. Listen very carefully. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I do want to help you. Folks, husbands and wives, you better watch what you do when it comes to how you work and where you work. You get somebody on one shift and they get somebody on another shift and you get those shifts moving all over the place, you may find yourself having a very, very difficult time with life. Make sure you're on the same page. If a husband works one shift and a wife works another shift, you better make sure the two of you are in agreement on that, because if you're not in agreement on that, that will tear your marriage to shreds. And I'm not telling you whether one ought to work one shift and one ought to work another shift. I'm not trying to tell you that. I'm trying to tell you, you better figure out what God would have you to do, and you better do what God wants you to do, because if the two of you don't agree on it, that'll mess you up. Do you know, I happen to believe a husband and wife ought to get along well enough that they are in agreement where they both work? He's not going to tell me what to do. I'm not telling you he's telling you what to do. I'm telling you the two of you love each other and you're in submission to God, and you came to a mutual, decent, calm agreement that he'll work one place, she'll work another place, and these are shifts we're going to work, and we're good with that, and we're okay. We're okay. You say, but my career. Fooey on your career. Your marriage is more important. Career. You have a mess on your hands. Money. You know, your job, you go make money. Can I recommend something? Could I recommend that you come to terms on what's going to happen with the money? Could I recommend that you come to terms whether you're going to tithe or not? Now, if you let the Bible be your guide, you're going to tithe. But how money will be spent, oh my. You want to figure out what people fuss about? If I could, I'd say, okay, how many of you fuss about money? Let's raise our hands. We're not going to do that. But if you come to terms about it, you say, what do you do at your house? We have an agreement. We set up a budget. We follow the budget. If you spend money within the budget, it's all okay. So there's not tension. Makes sense, doesn't it? We allocate 10% is going to be the tithe. We allocate a certain percentage is going to be for grocery money. We allocate a certain amount will help make the house payment. You know what? We just pay everything where it's supposed to be paid, and you don't have to fuss. You just follow the plan that's been set up. Oh, but when you're shooting from the hip, and when the decision, you just decide what you want to do, and she decides what she wants to do, and he decides what he wants to do, and if you're married, it's his money and her money. And, you know, folks, I just never grew up hearing that sort of stuff. Well, that's why 2/3 of the marriages in America end in divorce today, by the way. Probably higher than that. It's just people shack up and live together and don't get married anymore, so you don't know how many really are getting divorces. Agreement. It's really quiet in here. I don't know why. I hate it when this happens. With the finances, spending on what and when, savings and retirement and budget and borrowing money. Look, if a husband and wife are going to go borrow money, I think they both ought to be on the same page. And I think you ought to let the Scripture guide you. I don't think you ought to borrow beyond your means. I don't think it's a sin for you to borrow money. Basically, that's just renting someone's money. I think it's a sin when you borrow beyond your ability to pay it back on time. On time. On time. Pay your bills on time. That's what Christians do. Credit cards. I don't think there's anything wrong with a credit card. But I think if the wife's going to have a credit card and the husband are going to have a credit card, I think they ought to be in agreement about the credit card. And we ought to know how we're going to pay for the credit card and how we're going to handle the credit card. But if you're not careful, you'll fight about the credit card. And the verse from Amos 3:3 said, can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, I'm done. You've had enough. We'll make one more application or observation. I think every married couple ought to learn how to agree to disagree. How to agree to disagree. And you say, why? Because nobody has perfect unity. You will not agree with each other 100% of the time. I had a man who was a deacon in my last church. Opinionated. Very opinionated. But here's what I loved about him. He would give his opinion. If it opposed the consensus, he'd give his opinion. That was it. He'd shut his mouth. After the meeting, you would never know by his behavior that he had voiced an opposite opinion. Matter of fact, he'd get on the bandwagon if he is outvoted. Never rebel about it. Now, some people can't do that. They give their opinion. If you don't listen to their opinion, they become rebel about it. And, oh, they may on the surface say, well, I love you, I like you, but they're stabbing you in the back in their brain as fast as they can. Listen, you have to, in a marriage, you have to learn how to agree to disagree. I think Christian people can have unity and agreement most of the time in their marriage. Look, folks, let me tell you something about your marriage. There is tension every day of your life in your marriage. You are not living by principle. You have not let the Bible become your guide. You're not walking in the Spirit. Your marriage is weak, and you're messing up. There are going to be issues from time to time because you're human. We're all sinners. But it shouldn't be every day. Marriages don't last when there's tension every day. If every day there's something else, there's something wrong. You should have unity a very high percentage of the time. Now, in that small percentage of areas where you disagree, you've got to learn how to disagree agreeably. Get this. Did you know that you and your spouse can disagree, but there does not have to be a cold shoulder for 2 days, 3 days, or a week? You could grow up and get past that. There does not have to be a vengeful plan. I would recommend this. There are times when Mrs. Owens voices an opinion, I just don't say anything. I do not have to give my opinion all the time. I do that with church members all the time. Church members come to me, give me their opinion. I'll say, okay. Walk away, say, what are you going to do? I'm going to do nothing about it. You want to give your opinion? Fine. I'm going to start a fuss with you about it. Wasn't worth fussing about. Some of you just got to give your opinion because you're opinionated and you feel better after you give your opinion. But your opinion really doesn't matter. It's not going to change anything. So blow off all you want. You say, I just talked to you last week. Yeah, I'm talking to you. No, listen, folks. Do you know that our opinions, you don't always have to give your opinion. Some of you, you just calm your marriage down if you just didn't have to fuss about everything and give your opinion about everything. But listen, in the small percentage of area where either we have human error, we're sinners, and or we couldn't quite figure out what the Bible said. Now look, if we would just go to the Bible and say, what is the Bible? What would God have us to do? You're going to clear up most of all the tension in your marriage. But in the case that you don't know what the Bible says, or you haven't figured out, or in the case of human error, learn to agreeably disagree. You don't have to be hateful. You don't have to be unkind. You don't have to give them the silent treatment. You know, when most of you got married, you stood between before God and man, and you said, okay, I'll use Josh and Sarah. I performed their wedding ceremony. Josh and Sarah stood before me, parents, full church house, and they said these words, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. They made some agreements. You know, just keep your agreement. And the more agreement the husband and wife lock into, the less issue in life. That's why I love the Bible. I love the Bible because the decisions are already made. In most cases, God's already given us guidance on what to do, and we don't have to fuss. Now, where the problem comes in is, how do you apply it? When do you apply it? With what attitude do you apply it? That can cause some grief, but learn to agreeably disagree. You know something? If you and I'm the pastor of the church, and it's my job to... I'm the shepherd of the church, and I hate to tell you this, but it's my job to run this church. I'm not trying to be unkind to you, but there is a pastoral authority that's taught in the Bible. It's my responsibility to run the church. I want to run it the way God wants it to be run. But do you know that you and I could have an agreement, but you don't have to get mad and leave? Silly. people disagree with the pastor in one area, go up the road and join a church where they disagree with the pastor in five areas. Hey, now look, if I stop preaching the King James Bible as the Word of God, if we stop preaching salvation by grace through faith, if we get away from the proper doctrines of the Bible, hey, I want you to leave. But when we're doing right scripturally, when our opinions get out of hand, that's silly. That'll mess the church up. So we need to learn to agree disagreeably. Look, we're not going to paint every room around here the color you want. We won't pick out the carpet that you want. We're not going to plant the flowers that you want. It's not always going to be that. We're not always going to agree. Now, when we do what the Bible says, we can all agree on that. So we keep the Bible as our guide. You ought to do that in your marriage. You ought to do that in your child rearing. You ought to do that in your relationships. And if you do, the amount of agreement will be minimized. Can two walk together except they be agreed? God's asking a question and making a statement, all wrapped up into one. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. May I ask the question, are you born again? If you're not saved, you ought to get saved. You can't walk with God unless you agree with God. God said you're a sinner, there's a penalty for your sin, and that Jesus Christ paid that penalty with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. You turn to Him, ask Him to forgive you of your sin, come into your heart and be your Savior, and you can go to heaven someday when you die. But you have to get saved to go to heaven. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved, pray for me, I'm not born again? And you would raise your hand and say, pray for me. If you're not saved, if you come tonight, we'll take a Bible and we'll show you how to be born again. In regard to this subject of agreement, Amos 3:3, those of you that are unmarried, but knowing that marriage may be on your horizon, I hope you've listened to what I've said. You men, you don't need to go to the world and find a woman because you're not going to agree with her. And you women don't need to go to the world and find a man because the lack of agreement. And those of you, and I would say many of you who have had marital struggles in the past, it was lack of agreement. Those of you that are married, you need to work on getting on the same page. And I'm not saying she has to get on yours or you have to get on hers. I'm saying both of you need to get on God's page and get the agreement there so that you can walk together in peace and harmony. And who here would say, Brother Owens, God spoke in my heart tonight. I've learned something. I've been challenged in my marriage or in my relationships or in my thinking. And God has spoken in my heart. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Oh, lots of hands, sure. You may put your hands down. We're going to have an altar call. It won't last long. But if you need the altar, you feel free to come to this altar if you need to. The pianists are going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Where will we work? Get the agreement. How will we raise our kids? Get the agreement. Where will we go to church? Get the agreement. Most of the fussing should not be over issues that are resolved through Bible truth. It's going to be a little personality conflicts, timing, some of that. Okay, but then when there is disagreement, disagree agreeably. Be kind. Be gentle. And this is hard to understand, but an opinion is an opinion. You like yours, she likes hers. Okay, but you need to get along and love each other. Ushers, if you will have the prayer bulletins ready for us, we'll get them distributed, and it won't be long, we'll be on our way.